This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2146. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded July 7th, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Cuba, France, Germany, Madagascar, Mexico, New Zealand, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Peru, Russia, Syria, Turkey, Ukraine, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Transatlantic FMDX, a pennant collection, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Big news this week is the surprise appearance of a brand new shortwave station in Australia, first reported to us by Brian Clark in New Zealand, who says another KBDXer, John Durham, heard a nonstop music test on 4835, July 4th around 0830 UT. I monitored the frequency the following day, 5 July, between 0830 and 1000, and heard continuous classic pops plus occasional IDs for Shortwave Australia, frequencies announced as 2310 and 4835 kHz. Checking Australian SDRs, the best reception of 4835 was in South Australia and Tasmania, both better signals than what I was hearing in New Zealand. Then on July 6th, Brian Clark follows up on the ACMA register, that is the Australian equivalent of FCC, dated 5 July. David J. Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, is shown with a license for 4835 and 2310. Location given as 1450 Eagle Hawk-Neilborough Road, which is north of Bendigo, Victoria. Brian Powell, VK2XBP in Sydney, replies, I've heard him over the years airing his broadcasts on 80 and 160 meters, but as per info on his website, these broadcasts have been halted and may be moving to licensed allocations. He is a ham with call sign VK3AlphaSierraEcho. More info on his website, crossbandradio.com. There we see this notice. We are currently applying for a shortwave broadcast license, most likely in 2.3 meg band, and will not be transmitting on previously used frequencies, allowing more innovative programming and extra power, along with a streaming service. The current archive of streams will continue. Brian Clark then received a prompt response direct from David Stewart at the station. He says, I have obtained the old Alice Springs domestic shortwave frequencies, and am doing for a few grand what the ABC could not do with a $1.2 giga-dollar budget each year. A lot of inland and northern Australia has no daytime AM or FM coverage, and at night the AM band is swamped with signals from Asia, so it's very hard to get an Australian station. It was a bad idea to close them, but the CEO at the time thought they were old-fashioned and had to go, and AM would be next. Thankfully, after other stupid decisions, she was sacked. The idea is to have some Australian presence on shortwave, so I've obtained the licenses. And since I've recently moved to a farm 20 kilometers north of Bendigo in Victoria, I have the space to put up some antennas and broadcast. Most of the equipment is homemade. I'm currently running two 100-watt transmitters on 4835, feeding two dipoles, one north-south, the other east-west. On 2310, I have a dipole as well and 100 watts. I will soon have a double system for that as well. The dipoles are up around 60 feet. I am testing the systems and will get more power and better antennas. The licenses are for 5 kilowatts, but I will never run that due to power bills and may go to 500 watts. Could run the daytime service on solar. This is a totally non-profit hobby affair. I'm surprised it gets to you. It's quite good around southeastern Australia, but not so good to remotes in New Zealand. If you want to hear it well, go to the Ironstone Range remote near Adelaide. There's still quite a community interested in DX, so I hope I give some people a bit of fun with something else to listen to. I am currently running from 05 to 10 UT, not starting 2310 till sunset as it goes nowhere before then. I've not set up any automation yet, so the station may not be on if I have to be out. Ron Howard in California says on July 6, here on the coast, with random checking from 07 to 9:30 UT, heard the whole time with a definite weak carrier on 4835, but never able to raise any audio. We'll have to wait for the power to be increased. And of course, it's only 5 kHz away from WWCR 4840, which he says at that time was having double audio feeds, Brother Stare and something else. This was just in time for the July issue of Australian DX News, where Matt Francis reports, 4835, new station shortwave Australia, a long discussion about music formats from TuneIn at 0515 July 6 with a rather good signal, nice audio. Quick ID and program feed at 525 for shortwave Australia on 4835. And also heard on 2310 around 0830, much better at 1000 in parallel to 4835, which is starting to suffer from interference from WWCR, even down there in Australia. Craig Seeger says, announces On Air is transmitting from Outback Victoria, though Neilborough, just north of Bendigo, is not exactly remote. Also holds an amateur license, VK3ASE, announces a mobile number on air for TalkBack. Audio and transmission quality is good, reflecting appropriate technical expertise. And also provides a full report on the license info from ACMA. About Radio Pio 12 Bolivia, as reported last week, when both it and WRMI are on the air, only 2.4 kHz apart, one can hear a considerable het on the upper side of WRMI 5950, but which can be avoided by LSB tuning. This was the case July 3rd at 0103 during Texas radio shortwave. From Brazil, Radio Voz Missionaria continues to transmit just above 9673 instead of 9665. July 7th at 0701, I found it hopping back and forth between two approximate frequencies as I was trying to measure it exactly, about 9673.72 and 0.52. Via Gerald T. Pollard and Mike Cooper, news from the CBC website in Canada, July 4th. Canadian broadcasting legend Patrick Watson, dead at 92. His work in the industry spanned over 5 decades. As producer, author, TV host, and more, helped shape the face of Canadian journalism, while never shying away from controversy or difficult decisions. Born in Toronto in 1929, started his CBC radio career with a daily children's series called The Kootenay Kid in 1943, for which he made $1 an episode. Should read his full obituary, but among other things it says, in 1964, Watson started work on one of the most influential shows of his career, This Hour Has 7 Days, a Sunday night program he hosted alongside Laurier LaPierre and co-created with Douglas Leiderman, an innovative public affairs series that drew an audience of millions with its no-holds-barred, opinionated style. He says, I was looked upon as a troublemaker. Based on the BBC program That Was the Week That Was, it used a mix of documentary material, satire, and original music to review news of the week, and often pillory influential figures. It ran for 2 years, canceled in 1966 due to its provocative nature. Back in 2014, Bill Beaux wrote in the Canadian press, 7 days, a golden age for Canadian TV? Imagine a show that was a mashup of 60 Minutes and The Daily Show. 50 years ago, Canada had such a show in This Hour Has 7 Days. Sheldon Harvey in Montreal continues to publish the excellent DX magazine, CIDX Messenger, every month, as well as his own Radio HF Internet newsletter, in which we see in the latest July edition, in which Sheldon Harvey says this, just when so many people are beginning to believe that there was light at the end of the tunnel, and many COVID restrictions lifted, I learned personally that wasn't necessarily the case. After getting through 2+ years of avoiding the virus, always being extra careful, out of nowhere in the second week of June, I tested positive after a 1-day visit to Ottawa. Not realizing for a few days I was positive, I succeeded in passing the virus along to my wife, my brother, and a friend. We all had our 2 vaccinations and 2 booster shots, so the symptoms resembled nothing more than that of a head cold and simply required us to quarantine ourselves at home until we were no longer contagious. We do believe that the vaccines at least did their job, preventing us from getting serious or life-threatening symptoms. Since then, we've heard from several other people going through a similar scenario. A word to the wise, continue to play it safe. Cases in Quebec are on the rise again. Sadly, this is far from over. People are still being hospitalized, and deaths are being reported almost daily. This is Sheldon Harvey. IGH haven't said much about COVID-19 on this program as it's off topic, but I will say that whenever I go out, I still wear a mask, although hardly anyone else in Enid does. Andrew Braid's column in Medium Wave News UK, 600 CFQR Montreal, now with own programming. Its license was approved by the CRTC in 2012 for transmission with 10 kilowatt days and 5 kilowatts at night. License for almost entirely local programming. It took until June 2017 for the station to actually transmit, and it did so with a test of mainly music but no actual content. From 13 June this year, CFQR has taken a tentative step forward by presenting a morning drive program. Its story is peppered with difficulty. It blamed the lack of a suitable internet connection to its transmitter site as the reason for not broadcasting sooner, and it could not relay the emergency national public alerting system. Both July 3rd and 7th, I found Radio Havana Cuba in English on the unscheduled frequency 11670, very late, a few minutes before 07UT. Something's always wrong at RHC. Mike Cooper summarizes in English a story from Le Monde in France on July 1st. At Radio France, the great precariousness of young recruits. Working under short-term contracts year after year, they are forced into long hours to the point of exhaustion while facing abuse at some local radio stations. It's about time Deutsche Welle has resumed broadcasting in Russian. Alan Pennington forwards to the British DX Club from the Russian website translated of Deutsche Welle that they've resumed in Russian via Vilnius, Lithuania, for half an hour every evening on Medium Wave 1386 at 18 UT. These are actually radio versions of TV shows. A joint project with Radio Liberty, which will be aired on the same until 21 UT. On February 3rd, the Russian authorities had imposed sanctions against Deutsche Welle in Russia. Of course, DW and Radio Liberty are considered foreign media agents in the Russian Federation. Jerry Linneman in Waco reports about Madagascar World Voice to the NASFA flash sheet. 11610, July 2nd at 21:15, not enlisted Chinese. It sounds more like Russian, he says, which of course is used by KNLS in Alaska, their sibling station, so this may be a mistake. And then another MWV frequency, 9765, July 2nd at 21:30, that hour is supposed to be in Portuguese to Brazil, but they were playing wonderful jazz music, just like Willis Conover used to on VOA. Perhaps they do it every Saturday at 21 UT, but at 23:30, jazz was still going, although only listed on the air until 2300, a remarkably steady signal with no deep fades for the entire 2 hours. It finally went off at 23:54. He says, is this really MWV? Steve Witt in Medium Wave News, this about XERED 1110 kHz. Grupo Radio Centro resumed transmission of XERED, which was off the air in Mexico City for 3 years and 5 months due to technical problems. The weekend of June 26th, the signal was once again sounding with musical programming from its sister station, Universal Stereo on FM. GRC has not yet reported whether Radio Red AME will become a mirror station in AM of Universal Stereo, a station that began its history in that band, or if it will resume its voice broadcast in the short term. Radio Red AM with voice programming went off the air the night of January 19, 2019, due to a problem in relocating its antenna to land with better technical conditions for broadcasting. But given the difficulty of finding such a space in the populous Mexico City, the company requested various deadlines from the IFT to return to the air, an authority that extended at least 3 times. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 2146, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Arnold Heiles in Heinerscheid, Luxembourg, who says, in pre-retirement, I want to spend more time with my receivers. I wish you can continue World of Radio as long as possible. I listen always Saturdays via satellite Astra 13.2 East on World Radio Network. And he concludes some Euro banknotes, which are much appreciated, but please note, that here in deep North America, it is troublesome and expensive to exchange foreign money. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com, or by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. More about Mexico. Remy Humbert is a keen observer from Arizona of the Mexican broadcasting scene. An editorial by him appears in Medium Wave News and thence in the World of Radio IO Group. Recommended reading. It starts this way. Mexican broadcasting in the upside down. This industry makes less sense every day. There's a place where radio stations wither on the vine with no explanation, leaving people out of work, where businesses live on after they die, like zombies, blabbering music, news, and patter into the ether without a care, where wrongdoers get investigated and visited but not shut down. Here the federal government can hold an auction and decide 3 months after the fact that it's not ready for us to know the results. Regulatory agencies are left with a bare minimum number of confirmed commissioners to keep going in lieu of killing them off. Stations have to renew concessions years ahead of time to remain on the air. And even federal agencies and state governments can be caught off guard. One does not need to find a supernatural gate to a land with grotesque vines devoid of human life to visit this place. They just need to go to Mexico. Strange goings-on also at Radio New Zealand Pacific. July 7th at 06:54, I found them on 7425 with a very good signal. Talking about New Zealand, but it chopped off the air at 06:55 1 minute later. No, not 7245. 7425 is a registered alternate for RNZP, so it must have been one of their Thursday maintenance tests, which do not occur only on Wednesdays. Furthermore, 9700 was absent, so anyone actually listening for content was out of luck. Then I heard some DRM on two strange frequencies, which are not in the schedules. 5980, July 7th at 06:56, but it shortly went off. And also, July 7th at 06:50, around 6075. I suspect these may also have been from New Zealand. Should you be within sporadic e-skip range of ENID OK, keep an ear on the CB channel, slightly askew, 27184.46, where a local CBer is still playing pirate by relaying our local country music station, KOFM 103.1, such as July 2nd at midnight 33 UT and July 3rd at 1445. From DNA India via Steve Witt, Medium Wave News, the Twitter accounts of four Pakistan embassies in different countries have been banned by India along with Pakistan's national radio broadcaster, Radio Pakistan, to tighten up regulations against the spread of fake news. Furthermore, from Pakistan Today via Idun Ritz Medium Wave Info, the Pakistani government has allocated 50 mega rupees each for establishing a 100 kilowatt medium wave station at Gwadar, rehab of medium wave services at Muzaffarabad, and replacement of a medium wave transmitter at Mirpur. More about the call sign swaps in Puerto Rico I mentioned last week. From El Vocero de Puerto Rico y El Nuevo Día.com via Medium Wave News. Cadena Guapa Radio is now Borinquen Radio, following purchase from Univision Radio of 580 WKAQ by Guapa Televisión, owned by Hemisphere Media Group. 680 WAPA is now WBQN, with the name changed to Borinquen Radio. Transaction arises as part of a deal concerning the video streaming service Pantalla, spelled with a Y, not a double L. The change of call sign on 680 after 75 years of operation as WAPA has been made to avoid more confusion. The change is facilitated by a call sign shuffle with co-owned stations. 1160, formerly WBQN, is now WMTI. The WAPA call sign, but now with Borinquen branding, is now on 1260 in Ponce, formerly WISO. The WAPA call originally reflected the Asociación de Productores de Azúcar, the Puerto Rico Association of Sugar Producers. Some bad news in the July 3rd edition of Rusty X number 1192 from editor Anatoly Klipov in Moscow. He's published it in some form every Sunday since 1991 for 31 years, but he's decided to stop. So I wrote to Anatoly, I'm very sorry to see you may terminate Rusty X. Your dedication to keeping in contact with the rest of the world by publishing in English over these decades is much appreciated. We don't know what pressure you may be under to stop, but hope you will be able to continue in some form. But now he replies on July 7th. Due to deteriorating health, I decided to reduce the load and become a simple radio listener. I always read your messages on the internet, and am happy to cooperate with you in the future. All the best and health from Anatoly Klepov. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports the Russian pirate on 3940 Radio Free Waves Bay heard again after several weeks. On July 2nd at 2005 to 2014 with Russian songs. In the British DX Club, Owen John Williams says, I sent a reception report for 3940 about 6 weeks ago to their numerical Gmail address. The reply said, I no longer cooperate with 3940 as Putin's voice sounds on this frequency and a kind of EQSL with no war written on it. It's a rather convoluted situation, but to the World of Radio Group, Igor Murom explains it this way. Free Waves Bay, Five Corners Radio, and 3940 kHz are made by separate people. Initially, Vadim Komarov founded FWB as an internet project with music and self-made podcasts about pirate radio. In 2021, Unknown Radio Pirate with transmission equipment began to broadcast Vadim's podcasts on 3940 independently, and later also Five Corners Radio Podcast. That's why Free Waves Bay is mistakenly associated with 3940. The project was closed in 2022. The pirate also decided to broadcast politics. Vadim spoke harshly about it. Now this post is deleted. In the summer of 2022, no more politics on 3940, and Vadim's podcasts are on the air again. In the Medium Wave Mass IO group, Dan Goldfarb says about Syria, Tarek Zaidan has noticed sudden reactivation of the four-mast array at Adra on 567 kHz. Also, 666 from the monopole is still active. This may change since Tarek suspects they are doing work on the transmitters. Mike Cooper forwards an AFP story July 1st. Turkey has cut access to public broadcasters from Germany and the U.S., threatening to stoke new diplomatic tensions during Russia's invasion of Ukraine. An anchor court banned access to Deutsche Welle and Voice of America on July 1st after both failed to apply for local broadcasting licenses required by regulations introduced this year. The two argued that a local license issued by Turkey's media regulator would infringe on their independence and allow Ankara to censor their content. From UKRTVR.org via Steve Witt, Medium Wave News. Since June 18th, Crimeans can listen to Radio Liberty, Crimean Reality Radio, loosely translated, on 1278 kHz. A backup transmitter is operating, covering the entire south of Ukraine and the peninsula of Crimea. But the transmitter location cannot be disclosed. Joe's Jacob in India tells me of a new BBC World Service frequency with a very strong signal, 17790. And 01 to 02 UT registered as Singapore. Ricky Leong in Alberta reports hearing WTWW on 5085 and 9940, July 30 to 05 UT during a break in the history of rock and roll, a 6-minute newscast as the latest news from Ukraine. Appears to have been generated by a text-to-speech program, entirely read from a script. This is not the same as Ukraine security issue from the official radio that WRMI used to broadcast at the same time on 7730, and this one was repeated on WTWW some 90 minutes later. More recommended reading from Doug Smith in VHF UHF Digest of WTFDA and quoted in the World of Radio Group. I'll just describe briefly some of his topics about more strangeness among Mexican television broadcasting. Should Franken FMs become permanent? What the FCC is inquiring about it? Or should there be more regular FM below 88 megahertz? And the current scorecard of the new ATSC 3.0 digital TV system? And TV stations which have been affiliated with not one, but two, three, or even four networks at the same time? the third harmonic of Radio Vanuatu, which used to put a good signal on 11835 when heard after 06UT, has been missing again. We're not checked on June 30th, July 1st, and still as of July 7th. It's the peak of the summer sporadic EDX season. The MUF's ascending into the FM band. I've enjoyed some good openings, especially on July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and have been compiling my detailed reports as soon as possible, but it may take a few days to get them all together. Here's just one example. UT July 3rd at 0209 on 94.3 MHz. I was hearing The Duck, Giveaways All Summer, and hits back-to-back 24 hours a day, 94.3. And tickets to Six Flags somewhere, probably in Los Angeles, right here on The Duck, 94 days of summer. Well, that's KDUC. What else? In Barstow, California, with only 4.6 kilowatts at 1,735 kilometers. In the WTFDA GG, Bryce Foster in Massachusetts reports, on July 5th, 50 megahertz 6 meter DX was coming into Newfoundland. At 1220 UT, he was getting St. John's, Newfoundland, which would be one hop, sporadic E. And at 1225, some fade-ups on 87.8 megahertz in French, peaking at 1228. And, of course, that implies France on an even frequency, something not from North America. It peaked briefly at about 1228 UT, and he made a recording. He says most likely it's a 2-kilowatt station from the southwest of France at Angoulême. Distance about 5.5 megameters or 3,426 miles, which implies it would have to be at least a triple hop sporadic E. Steve Witt also writes about this in the Medium Wave Circle. You might remember last year Bryce Foster on Cape Cod logged Azores, Venezuela, and southwest Iceland on double hop sporadic E FM. The summer of 2021. This year, on July 5th, the maps were completely loaded with 6-meter sporadic E to Europe. And DXers in Finland and Ontario successfully ID'd the recording as France Culture. And he says Bryce has made history as the first lower 48 DXer to ever receive mainland continental Europe on FM beyond Iceland. Via shortwave bulletin, a reference to a website of Stefano Manelli in Italy, my radio and TV penance collection, 1,071 different pieces from 97 countries, at last updated on March 2nd of this year. Penance, of course, are not considered verifications, but they're quite collectible and used to be a really good thing, especially in Latin America. Normally they are triangular. The few that I have, I see, are also on his huge website. Here it is, www.iz3enh.it, /tvpenance.php. The only capital is the P of penance. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued July 4th. Geomagnetic field expected to reach active intervals on July 15th, 16th, and 22nd and 23rd. Lay in Candace's peaking at 15 and 4 on July 15th and 23rd. Solar flux descending from 115 July 10th, bottoming out at 95 on the 20th and 21st, and then climbing again to 105 by July 27th and 110 on the 30th. And thus concludes World of Radio number 2146. Glenn Hauser here. I hope you found it informative. And we'll make a point of hearing me again next week when I conclude with a standard disclaimer.